Good morning, church. Boy, it's good to be with you this morning. Thank you for making your way out here this morning. Tink is under the weather this morning, but I tell her that she just didn't want to come and hear the youth preacher this morning. I told her I didn't want to either, but I had to. Praise his name. Good to be with you all here this morning. But I want to thank God for the opportunity to be in his house one more time. You know, I don't care if you got nothing to praise him for. You could thank him for letting your feet hit the floor this morning. Being able to be out and come out to his house this morning. Praise God for that. I'm going to be over in Proverbs, the 18th chapter, the 21st verse. I'm going to read one verse this morning. And when you get there, if you can, let's please stand and read in honor of God's word this morning, if you're able to this morning, please. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Amen. The scripture tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I'm going to say that one more time. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And it's very important, and I'm going to get into this a little bit, that we don't mess up the order of God's word. It's not life and death. It's death and life. And I'll explain that here in just a little bit if you could bear with me. Let's pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, we want to come with nothing but thanksgiving in our heart, Lord. We want to praise you, Lord. Father, you're so good to us, Lord, and we love you. And Father, we just can't do nothing without you this morning. I pray for the anointing this morning. I pray, Father, that your spirit would go amongst us, Lord, and we'd open up our hearts, Lord. And Father, that, Lord, we would just give you the praise, Lord, for your word and that all that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you would, and maybe you've already got it, and maybe you've got it highlighted in your Bible, but underline the words, the power of the tongue. Because I think this is important this morning for us to understand this. There's a principle that's found all from Genesis clear to Revelations, and that has been pounded into my heart and into my soul these last couple of weeks by the Holy Spirit. That is this little member right here in our mouth, our tongue, which usually is about 3.5 inches long and weighs about 2 to 3 ounces. That's all it is. And James tells us something about this little member. It tells us that this could cause a world of trouble. And, I mean, it's been pounded in my spirit. I'm not here talking to you. I'm talking about today, okay? But it's been pounded into my spirit because it's most of us would be honest. This little thing in our mouth has caused us more trouble than anything else in our lives. It has done that, and I can tell you about mine. The key member of the inner man is the heart. But the key member of the outer man is the tongue. And interestingly enough, they're connected. Did you know that? The Bible tells us that they're connected. For the out of the abundance of the heart, what speaketh? The mouth. That they're connected. For those two things cannot be separated. I hope we understand that this morning. This mouth, this tongue, the words that come out of it, and our heart, they cannot be separated. They cannot. The power of the tongue is one of the most amazing powers that we have here on the face of this earth. It is. And it can be used for good, and it can be used for evil. That's just here to say here this morning. Just imagine, I thought about this scenario this week. Just use this as an example. If a judge is sitting in a courtroom, and that judge has the power to pronounce a man or woman guilty, and that judge also has the power to sentence them, right? Right. And in that example, he has the power of death and life within his tongue. He does. Now, you break that principle down to each and every one of us in here this morning. Now, I want you to understand, each and every one of us in here this morning, the Bible tells us we have that same power, whether we understand it or not. When it comes to every one of us, everywhere we go, every person we come in contact with, in every relationship, we have the power of death and life within our tongue. And every day that the Lord allows us to live, I'm going to tell you, we have a choice. And that choice, that decision, comes down to what we're going to allow to come out of our mouths. It does. Death or life. And that's what the Bible tells us comes. But let me speak for myself this morning. Far too many times, Greg, I've let me control what comes out of here. Now, I'm going to ask you that same question this morning. How many times do you allow what comes out of here to be controlled by you and not the Holy Spirit? I'm talking to myself. And far too many times, you know what comes out of my mouth? Death. Death. And this is the same thing is true of every last one of us sitting in this church this morning. Every husband has the power of death and life in his tongue. Every husband. Husbands, you can put to death so many precious things in your marriage by what comes out of your mouth. You can do that with words. I've done it down through the years. And now I'm telling you, men, if you're honest, you've done it down through the years too. Every wife has the power of death and life in her tongue. This is what the Bible's saying. Every mother and father has the power of death and life in their tongue when they're dealing with their children. You can tear down, you can destroy their spirit. And those same children, I'm not talking about trying to earnestly guide and direct. I'm talking about letting this get out of control and you speaking and tearing and destroying. We've all done it, parents. We've all done it. I'll be the first to admit it. Look at the painful and severe words that you let come out of our mouths sometimes. And I've said, I've done this too. And once they're spoken, let me ask every one of you, can you take them back? Have you been able to take them back? Because once you've spoken them, no matter how much apologizing that you do, you'll never erase the memory of those things that were spoken. They can never be retrieved. They can never be retracted. They cannot. That's the power of death and life in your tongue. It is. Every friend, every employee, every employer, every neighbor, every church member, every Christian has the power of death and life in their tongue. You may never stand before this congregation and preach and teach. You may never do that. You may never do that. But can I tell you something? When you go out in this world, when you stand here in this church, you have the power of death and life in your tongue. When you open your mouth, your words fall into two categories, and I've already said it, death or life. That's what they fall into. As a matter of fact, if you go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you look at every time God has dealt with the tongue, you could write in the margins of your Bible whether it is death or life in there. Every time. Let me give you some examples. I wrote them down. In Proverbs 18:8, it says this: the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Let me ask you, church, is gossip and hearsay death or life? Absolutely. What about Proverbs 19:5? Let's look at that. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Is lying death or life? It's death. That's what it says. How about 1 Peter 3:8-9? It says this: finally, be ye of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. You can mark that in your Bible. You know what railing for railing means? It means if Greg comes against me, it's me going back at him the same way. Because why? Because we let pride get in the way. That's what railing for railing means. Okay? And it's but counterwise blessing, knowing that you are therefore called, what shall you be inherited of blessing? What is that, church? What if we get back at against somebody like that? Is that death or life? It's death. Exactly. How about responding in kindness when people come against us? That's life. That's life. Death and life are in the power of our tongues. Preachers, especially, this is where God's been hitting me about this. We have to be keenly aware of this. Why is that? Read Proverbs 10:19. This is what it says. And it has a warning. The more one talks, the harder it is to avoid mistakes. Let me read the verse to you. In multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, But he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know what he's trying to tell me? And maybe you? The more I talk, the more chance I have to say something that's stupid. That's not life. Now, this doesn't just apply to preachers. You understand that, right? Because a lot of things that come out of our mouth on a daily basis that probably should have never have been said. You know that out of our mouth comes prayers and praises to God and testimonies and a Christian witness and maybe a word of encouragement and a word of exhortation. And guess what else can come out of my mouth sometimes? All that is life, 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 life. That's all life. But out of the same mouth can come criticism, can come gossip, can come slander, complaining, lashing out in anger, strife and contention, and every bit of that is death. And you know what? James says this about the tongue, and notice who he's talking to. The book of James is one of them books. If you want to talk about the tongue, from the first verse in James to the end of it, he talks about the tongue. James 3, 10 and 12. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Who is your brothers and sisters? Who is brothers and sisters? That's all of us. You Christian here this morning? If you're a Christian this morning, you're brothers and sisters. And he's telling us that out of the same mouth sometimes comes blessings and cursings. Can both fresh water and salt water come from the same place? I've never seen that. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives and grapevines bear fig? Neither can a salt spring, neither can salt water come up from a fresh spring. It can't. Do any of us here recognize this morning how truly recognize the power of our words this morning? I say this morning understanding that this is not only a spiritual church, I understand that here this morning, but this church is full of encouragers. This church is. It really is. I can tell you from experience, I have come into this church feeling lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. I have come in here like that, down in spirit, down physically. I've done it. And someone has come up to me and shook my hands and give me a word of encouragement. They've done that to me, standing right out there. And you know what they? You know what that's done? That's better than saying 50,000 amens while I'm preaching. Because they have given me a word of encouragement. Now, they didn't know that they probably did it. But praise God, I knew that they did. And that's what I'm saying whenever I'm telling you. The power of death and life are in our tongues. I've been in churches. But I tell you, I've said this here before. I've preached and I've had people come against me. I've had them come against me right after church. What did you mean by that? Thinking that I was preaching at them. And I don't do that. Never have I done that. Never. And I'm saying here before you, I've never once thought about, well, I'm going to preach at Patty this week. But they come against me like that. They don't know how much that tears a person down, especially a young minister or a young Christian. The power of death and life are in your tongue. James tells us, dude, do any of us here recognize this? Do any of us? And it's been done more than once at this church. And I praise God for that. Because God used that person to speak to me. I don't know. Just a gracious word, a gracious, kind word spoken to someone, whether they be at Walmart, whether they be at the gas station, at work, at home, at church. Belinda, I remember you telling this story years ago. Maybe you just told it to me, maybe you told it to the church. But you were somewhere shopping, it was out of town somewhere, and this girl was at the line. And she was asking how she could, the area she living in was not a good area. And she was talking about she wished she could move someplace like here to live. I don't know if you remember that story you told me or not, but if you don't, that's fine. But I remembered it. And she gave her encouraging words. I remember her saying that. I'm not just picking and lifting Belinda up, but I'm telling you, you don't know how that might have helped that woman. You just don't know. We go by people every day in our lives. Every day. We deal with people so many times. And no matter what they look like, no matter what you, listen to me, a kind word, a gracious word. We don't know, that could be life to that person. That could be life to them. Just a gracious, God can use that in that person's life. The Bible tells us this. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb. That's what it says. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Now, as I've been looking over this, God has given me some things in my mind that have been bouncing around. And like I said, so many times I got to be careful when I'm trying to prepare a sermon. I'll go down so many rabbit holes. I'll go down so many things that I've got to cut back a little bit and say, Lord, you direct me what you want. The Lord uses our tongues because they're such a little thing. He can still use that tongue for good. If you look in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fully came, it tells us here, starting in verse 3, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And as they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I don't want you to miss the point on this. God is showing, don't miss the point on this. Tongues are useful only when God uses them. I'm not talking about a spiritual gift of tongues here. I'm talking about mine and your spiritual, our tongues. They're only useful when God uses them. Listen, the Spirit of God come down in their tongue. Everybody there heard them speak in their own language. That was a miracle. And the problem is, for the most part, we are the ones that are controlling it. And this tongue can be used to point someone to Jesus. It can be used to point, look at the results in Acts 2. When someone let God control their tongue, it said, then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd, it said. And then whenever it was done in Acts 2:41, and they that gladly received the word were baptized the same day, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Because someone let their tongue be used for life. Let it be used. Peter let his tongue be used for life. Praise God here this morning. You know what? I don't know if we'll see one person saved, or we'll see 1,000 saved, or 1,000,000 saved. I don't know. But can I tell you something this morning? God wants us to use our tongues for life this morning. He wants us to use it for life. But it can only be used that way if, like other members of our body, it is completely yielded to Jesus. Completely yielded to the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that we can get life out of it. Because the greatest good, that is life, and the greatest evil, death, come from the same place. Now I want you to get this from Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I told you earlier, God's order is important. It's important. It doesn't say life and death. We hear that out here in the world all the time. It's a matter of life and death. How many of you heard that? It's a matter of death and life, is what the Bible says. It says death and life. Do you know why death comes first? It's because death is natural. It's a natural man. Death comes first because it's natural. That's why. Life is necessary. Death is natural. If life ever comes out of your mouth, it's because the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit has allowed it to come out of your mouth. That's the only way that life comes out of these tongues. And if you're left to your own accord, the only thing that comes out of this mouth is death. And I told you, I know that from my own experience. It does. Look at the power of death. Someone once pointed out, there's only one letter's difference between the word, and sword. And that's the S. How many times have your words wounded the hearer? How many times have your words not for the right reason, and they've wounded somebody's heart, wounded their spirit? The book of James, as I quoted earlier, talks about the tongue in almost every chapter. For example, in James 1:26, if any man among you seems, mark the word seems, because there's a lot of seemers in church today. It says seems religious. That's what it goes on to say. There's a lot of seamers in church today. There's a lot of them. Religious, they seem to be religious and seem to be spiritual. Be religious and bridleth not, what's it say here? Bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is what? It's vain. Do you know a lot of folks dress up pretty good for church? Do you know that? A lot of folks dress up pretty good for church, all dressed up, even carrying their Bibles, but speaking words of death sometimes. Can I be blunt with you? That's just empty religion. I'm not saying the Bible here says it. Their religion is in vain. That's what it means. Then in James 1:27, he speaks life to us. Pure religion and undefiled before God, the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You either have vain religion or you have pure religion. There's nothing else in it, and your mouth will tell you. And James is talking to Christians. I'm talking to lost people. I'm not talking to people that's out here in the world. He's talking to the ones that are saved. And he's telling them this. He's trying to get the point across to me and you. You have either vain religion or pure religion, your mouth tells you, and your mouth will tell on you. In James 3, I heard a preacher once say this in the third chapter of James. I heard a preacher say this one time, and I wrote it down, and I don't want to use it again here today, that almost every bad thing that's going on in churches today can be taken out of that church if the people would just live the way James 3 tells them to live. Everything. If you think about it, read it. It goes on to say, my brethren, he's talking to saved people, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. You know what the Greek word for all means here? It means all. It means all. That means the best Christian, the best church member, the most faithful worker, even the finest people offend in the word. Even the finest people. If I could have you raise your hand here this morning, and every one of us should raise our hands. Every one of us have offended the word. Every one of us. You say, oh, the Bible says all. It says all. We have done that. And the examples throughout the Bible of God-fearing people who have offended in their words. Peter did. We read about him this morning. Peter did. Moses did. Psalms 106 talks about that. You can go look at that later. Paul even spoke in haste and anger. How many of you have ever spoken haste and anger in your life? We all have. I mean, we all have spoken haste and anger. In Acts 23, Paul did this. He apologizes. In Acts 23, he apologized for speaking in haste and anger when he was talking about the high priest. And you could say, well, that high priest deserved it. Paul didn't think that. Paul apologized because he knew this was bigger than just Paul. I'm going to tell you something. It takes a very big Christian man or woman to acknowledge their faults and apologize for them. Amen? It does. And a lot of us don't have, a lot of us sometimes think, well, that wasn't my fault, it was there. The Bible tells me, even if you have aught with your brother, even if they're the one that started it, what are you supposed to do, Greg? Go to them. Don't go to Laura. Don't go to anybody else's church. You go to them. And it says, if any man offend not in word, listen to the rest of this, the same as a perfect man. Anybody perfect in here? So we've all offended in word at times in our life, haven't we? There's a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. James 3:3, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whethersoever the governor listens, he's talking there about the power of direction. He's what he's talking about. A little bit, we all know that you can put a little bit in a horse's mouth and you can turn it. You can take a little rudder on a boat and you can turn that boat. Every man or woman's tongue can determine the direction of their life, either for good, for life or death, death or life. Every one of us. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And this is the power of direction that the tongue gives us in our life. The fire, we all know that fire can destroy, right? We were out in Yellowstone a few years back when we went out west. When we drove down into Yellowstone, if we look, we went by this lake, and then of course, Yellowstone's just beautiful, but it had a bunch of trees. I don't know how wide this path was, and it was just clear up through there were nothing, where a fire had went through there and destroyed it. On each side of it, there were trees, but it's just like it just right up through there and did it. We asked them down there. We stopped down there at 8, and we asked them down in the lodge, this little girl, she was waiting on us. She said, they never put the fires out as long as they don't get in the canopy. They let them burn. If they're burning low, they let them burn. They don't ever put them out. The only time me and you ever hear about big fires is when they get up in the canopy and they start burning everything out. But for others, a little spark can start a fire. Out in California back in 2010, I don't know if you remember this story or not, at a golf club out there down around Irvine, California. It was dry out there at the time, and this guy was playing golf. And as he was playing golf, his ball went over in the rough, in a brushy area. He went over to hit you got to hit the ball where it lies. So he's over there, and he's hitting it, and his golf club hits a rock and sparks a fire, destroys 25 acres before they could get it put out. Listen, a little spark kindleth a big fire. You don't know when you start talking, when we start running our mouths, what it's going to cause whenever it ends up. You just don't know. Listen to me. No matter how great a little fire, when you hear someone say, well, I'm just giving you a piece of my mind, I'm just telling the truth. Did you hear? If a conversation starts that way, number one, remember James? Whenever he tells you, behold how great a matter kindleth a little fire, but you get away from that. You get away from it because you're taking part with that. You can spread the same thing. Now, after that, a little spark starts the fire. Look at what kind of fire had been started in verse 6. If the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. If you are a man and woman gossiping, I'll tell you who's behind it. It's the devil. Yes, it is. Oh, let me tell you what I heard. Let me show you something else about gossip and hearsay. How many of you knew the word hearsay is in the Bible? How many of you knew that? I didn't know it until I studied it this week. It's there. It's over in Deuteronomy, chapter 13. And this is what it tells you about it. If thou shalt hearsay in one of the cities which the Lord thy God has given thee to dwell in, they're saying, certain men, the children of Beelah, are gone from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if the truth of this thing certain that which such abomination is wroth among you. Then if all that lines up, then we're to talk about it if it needs to be done. You know what? If you would do what the Bible says every time we hear hearsay, listen to what he says to do here. He said, you'll inquire, make search, ask diligently, and behold, the next time somebody comes up to you with hearsay, I'm going to search it out. Okay, I'm going to go ask that person. Is this what's going on? You go, oh, no, you better not. How many times do you think people come up to you about hearsay from here on out? Or gossip? Right? It'd be a totally different ballgame. That's what the Bible's saying. It's talking about hearsay. You would find someone with a critic. You know what? You find someone with a critical spirit about them, and all they want to do is complain. I'm telling you who's behind it. It's the devil. It's the devil. That's who's behind it. And it sets on fire, the translation of it sets on fire of hell. You know what that says? It's there because it was set on fire by hell itself. That's why. It's not, that's who's behind it. For every kind of beast and a bird and a serpent and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed to mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. How many of you would drink deadly poison in your right mind? Nobody, I don't think, right? You wouldn't do that at all. But I'll tell you, but do you realize that's already in us? It's right here. Because it says the tongue is full of deadly poison. It's what it says. And no man can tame it. Underline the words no man. Because you're right, no man can tame the tongue. That takes the Holy Spirit. That takes the Word of God. That takes God doing it. Listen to me. I know I'm preaching to somebody here besides me. And if I'm only preaching to me, that's okay, Jeremy. I'll preach to me. But you know what? Our tongues are full of deadly poison. And it's just how much we want to let out sometimes. Yes, it is. I've thought about this, like I said, for the last 2 weeks. You want to know what barometer you're on your spiritual maturity is? You know what it is? It's whether or not you got your tongue under control. That's the barometer on your spiritual maturity. You say, listen to me. The Bible tells me, we talked a little bit about it here this morning. It's called sanctification. It's a process. I don't know about you, but I didn't get it all when I got saved. I didn't know it all when I got saved. I'm standing here this morning as your pastor telling you, I don't know it all this morning. Praise God, I'm learning to let the Holy Spirit guide me and direct me and use me and show me if I'm wrong, if I'm right, if I'm this, if I'm that. Listen to me. Brothers and sisters, there is a sanctification process. And every one of us in here need to understand that we are not home yet, children. And until we get home, we are going to be in these unperfect bodies and these unperfect tongues. But brothers, that doesn't stop us from trying to control what's in this mouth sometimes. You may be sitting back here and thinking to yourself, that's just the way I am. I'm just plain spoken. You're of that mindset. Let me read verses 10 through 13 to you again. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. Talking, my brethren, these things ought not to be. Doeth a fountain send forth at the same place, sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree? Listen to me. If you're of that mindset here this morning and thinking, well, you know, I'm above this. I know what I'm talking about. I know that I... Listen to me. No, you're not. You're not above the Word of God. None of us in here are. Too many times you hurt those around you and the ones you love with the words that come out of your mouth. I have done it far too many times. You spew death. You think, well, that's harsh. No, the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we spew it too many times. You murder dreams. You massacre friendships. You slaughter relationships and destroy peace and unity. And fellowship with our tongues. We can do that. When you do this, you're just not hurting them. You're hurting yourself. Hurting our fellowship with God. I have no dissed down through the years too many times in my life. When I've done that, Alita, I didn't just hurt them. It hurt me. I had to go get on my knees and ask God for forgiveness for one of the stuff that had come out of my mouth sometimes. Listen, you may be sitting here this morning and you may be thinking, well, that's okay, that's for somebody else. No, it's not. No, it's not. Husbands and wives, think about how you treat each other. Think about what you say to one another. Oh, that's my husband, that's my wife, I can say what I want to. No, you can't. You're Christians. You're born again, bought with the blood, Christians. What comes out of our mouth should bring life to one another. Not death. Not death. And too many times, that's not what comes out. You know, spiritual mature men and women know this. There's a time to rend and a time to sow. And husbands and wives, there's a time to keep silent and there's a time to speak. Plain and simple. Yes, there is death and life in our tongues. There is death and life in these tongues. The Bible tells us that. Can I tell you something? And I'll leave you with this. Belinda, come give us all. Death and life in the power of these tongues. Can I ask you something to do something? Choose life. Choose life. Too many times it's so easy, and the devil makes it so easy for us to just blah, 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 blah at somebody or something or about somebody. Can I tell you this morning, the Bible tells us if we're Christians, that ought not so to be. Amen? I know it's quiet in here. I didn't mean to. I'm bringing my conviction upon you this morning. I understand that. But praise God. Don't you think sometimes we need to hear the truth about certain things sometimes. I'm doing it in love with you this morning. I love everybody here. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, this is one of the finest churches I've ever been in as far as spiritual people and loving people. You know how many times people in here tell me, man, your church is so friendly. They say that. And I love that about us. Keep it up. But brothers, the Bible tells us that all offend in word. So no matter how good a church is or how spiritual a church is, let's control the tongue. Even to those around us that we think we got the right to speak to however we want. That's not the case. That's not the case. Love. All right. Anybody have a need this morning, please come.